Welcome to the Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and joining me today is Jenny, who is our PAT expert naturopath based in Auckland, New Zealand. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Jess.
We're part of Health and Wellness Australia in Auckland, who are a team of naturopaths around Australia and New Zealand that specialise in a natural allergy treatment called Positive Association Technique, or PAT. So we're right in the middle of winter here in Australia and New Zealand. So we're seeing a lot of clients presenting with eczema and other skin issues in the clinic. So today we're going to be talking about how to take care of your sensitive skin during winter to help prevent flare-ups and symptoms like dryness, itching, and inflammation.
Yeah, well, winter is definitely here in New Zealand. It's freezing right now. and with that comes lots of cold air, wind, and lower humidity. So when you combine that with too hot indoor heating, your skin can become really, really dry, rough, cracked, and brittle. So this can lead to eczema flare-ups. Because your skin is your body's largest organ, and its major role is to act as a physical barrier to the outside world. So when your skin is healthy, it protects it from allergens and infections. But in winter, this can become compromised, which can lead to flare-ups. So the most important thing to do over winter is to keep your skin hydrated, as a loss of moisture will compromise the skin barrier. So we're going to give you some of our tips.
Yeah, so who is most prone to skin flare-ups during winter?
So the most common skin condition we see in the clinic is eczema. So where your skin is really dry, itchy, and easily irritated. So it's estimated that 10% of the population will experience eczema at some point in their lives. For some people, eczema is like a year-round problem. And often they have this genetic condition associated with a skin protein called flaring that causes their skin to lose moisture and allows the allergens and the bacteria to enter more easily. And then there's other people with eczema who have irregularities with specialized white blood cells called mast cells that cause them to release higher amounts of histamine and other allergic compounds compared to people without eczema. So they also may have a lower ability to kill the bacteria on their skin. And so when you combine this with scratching, leads to an increased susceptibility to staph infections. And even if you have like another skin condition like dermatitis, psoriasis, or just sensitive skin, you might notice that those symptoms all get worse during winter.
Yes, so let's get into it. You mentioned the skin barrier earlier can get compromised during winter. So what exactly is the skin barrier and its function?
Right, so the two most upper parts of the skin are the stratum corneum and the acid mantle. So their purpose is protection and they form a barrier to the outside world. So the stratum corneum is the outer layer of your skin and it consists of a series of cells that are constantly shredding. So they are tougher than most cells, so it can protect the inner layers of the skin. So it's often referred to as the brick wall because these cells are layers like bricks mortared together by lipids, which are fats, that create this outer wall barrier. So if the skin is dehydrated, the stratum corneum, that the cells kind of curl up like a dead leaf so that the barrier become weakened. And the acid mantle sits on top of the stratum corneum, and this is a protective film which is made up from natural oils and amino acids. So that its main function is to keep the moisture locked in to your skin to stop bacteria getting in and pollution damaging your skin. So it does this by being at a pH level of 4.5 to sort of 5.5, which helps to prevent infection. Because bacteria prefers a more alkaline environment. So the lower pH supports our skin microbiome as well, which helps to crowd out any harmful bacteria. But unfortunately, many skincare products like cleansers and toners contain foaming agents like sulfates or alcohols that actually strip away the acid mantle and change the pH. Exfoliating products are also really bad. They can disrupt the acid mantle as well, and they just lead to an unbalanced skin that causes dryness, eczema, rosacea, psoriasis, acne. It's a big problem with all these skincare products. Like you only have to go into places like Mecca and see, you know, there's a plethora of ones that aren't really doing what they're meant to do. So to keep the acid mantle at the right pH. You've got to avoid over cleansing the skin as it will remove this layer. So you really should only be cleansing your face at night to remove any makeup or pollutants from the day. So don't use any cleansers or toners that make your skin feel dry or your skin to feel stingy or irritated, because this is definitely affecting that acid mantle. And avoid all exfoliant products, and use a moisturizer that's really hydrating.
Yeah, and you're so right when it comes to the amount of skincare products that we have access to now. It's very trendy at the moment, but you're right, these products aren't always best for people with that kind of sensitive skin type. So while we're talking about skincare products, do you have any recommendations in particular?
Well, so if you don't already have a skin range that works for you, and there's this Australian company called Yours Only that's been getting really amazing results. The founder, she had food intolerances and skin conditions her whole life, and she couldn't find anything out there that didn't contain substances that she needed to avoid. So she decided just to make it herself. So the ingredients contain no salicylates, no fragrance, no parabens, mineral oils, as well as a whole lot more. And so she's found that her skin products work really, really well for sensitive, eczema prone skin. So give it a try. I think they're quite easily, I think she's got a website that maybe we can hook up for here. So also, you know, during the changing temperatures of winter, because of this fluctuation, your skin becomes more sensitive. So that some skincare products that were fine over summer, they might irritate your skin now. And also just avoid really harsh soaps in your laundry detergents or surface cleaners and detergents that you use around the house, because they can really cause irritation and flare-ups on your hands. And also make sure that you wear gloves every time you clean, because this is sort of when you get that really horrible, rough, dry, irritated hands.
Yeah, and just to expand on that, you mentioned salicylates. Those products are free from salicylates, and that's often something that falls under the radar. And a lot of people with eczema and other skin conditions may have heard of the salicylates in foods, but it's so common in these kind of skincare products as well. So it's really something to be mindful of there. So when our skin is properly hydrated, it can cope with these temperature changes and be less prone to inflammation. So apart from using a good quality moisturizer, what are some of the other ways that we can actually stop our skin from drying out?
Yeah, so this one can be a little bit harder. It's like avoid rapid changes in temperature. So, you know, in winter we jump between icy cold outdoors and then sometimes we just crank up the heating inside. And so you get this cycle of cold, hot, and it can make the skin dry and cracked. So where possible, try and avoid these big heat changes. So layer up instead, you know, you can take the garments off when you get too hot when you're indoors, or just get a big jumper so you're not actually putting on the heater straight away. And protect the sensitive areas from rapid changes of temperature by wearing hats or gloves, scarves when you're outside, you know, to reduce the skin getting cold. Also try and keep your skin dry. So when you remove wet, you know, if you've got wet, like you've been in the rain or you've been for a run or something, and, you know, you've got all your clothes have got wet, just get rid of them straight away, because the cold, damp environments can encourage fungal growth, and wet clothes can irritate eczema because as they dry, they cause the moisture to evaporate away from your skin. So perspiration can also be irritating to the skin. So if you've worked up a sweat, make sure you have a quick shower and get into dry clothes, you know, straight away. But also don't take super hot baths or showers, because the heat can cause the skin to dry out and to take those protective oils out of your skin. And so if you do have a bath, add some moisturizing products to the bath to help keep that skin moist, and limit your bath time to like 5 to 10 minutes. So with the use of the, you know, hot showers as well, when you have a hot shower, your body cools down too quickly. So just be mindful of that. And then also after a shower or a bath, don't rub yourself with the towel, as that can scratch and irritate your eczema. So just pat dry your body and then put moisturizer on straight away while the skin is damp, so that kind of locks in the moisture.
And I know it's so tempting to have those steaming hot showers in winter to try and warm up here in Sydney. So yeah. It's hard to but it's just so worth it if you can get it down that temperature. You're not going to give your body that big shock when it comes back out into the cold air. So we actually had a client send in a question about this. So he asked, why do I have itchy skin after doing a workout in the morning and the itchiness comes after I get out of the shower? So would you be able to answer that one for us, Jenny?
Yeah. So feeling itchy after a shower is usually due to dry skin. Like the soap and the hot water of the shower wash away those natural oils that protect and moisturize and soften your skin. And so as a result, your skin is left feeling kind of itchy and tight, especially, you know, during winter when the humidity is low. But also for those with eczema, the buildup of sweat on top of the skin, like, you know, like under a tight polyester top or in a hot gym with poor ventilation, the sweat glands can become plugged and they prevent this release of sweat. So this leads to overheated skin and dryness, which both make eczema worse. But that's not all. If sweat can't escape the clogged sweat gland, it leaks into the surrounding tissue under your skin, which can cause a histamine reaction. And people with atopic dermatitis can actually have an allergic response to the antigens in sweat. So studies have shown that between 77 to 96% of people who have an atopic dermatitis also have this allergic response to sweat, which is actually really high. And researchers have also found that people with atopic dermatitis have more glucose in their sweat, which is also associated with more skin issues. So if you've got this impaired sweating or an altered sweat composition and dry skin, they can all add up to this itchy solution situation. Also, studies have found that the sweat of people with eczema have lower antimicrobial properties, which kind of makes them more prone to these skin infections.
Yeah, and this is why sweat is actually a really common treatment that we do in our clinic as part of a PAT treatment plan when we're working with any of those eczema or dermatitis symptoms. So we'll talk a bit more about that later in the episode. But getting back to those tips, what are some more of your winter skincare tips?
Yeah, right. So, you know, try and avoid, try and wear non-irritating clothes. Like some fibers like polyester or rough wool or nylon can irritate the skin or cause overheating, which can trigger a flare-up. So you need to dress in more breathable fabrics like cotton and bamboo, but it's also really soft wool like merino. I mean, in New Zealand, like everyone wears merino. It's like one of our layers. So make sure that your bed covers are breathable as well. So you can make up layers of lightweight blankets instead of one really thick, heavy duvet to stop yourself overheating. And also, you know, use a humidifier. So heat pumps and central heating can strip the moisture from the air, which actually can lead to the skin irritation and cracked skin. So also don't sit too close to the heat source and then use this humidifier that adds moisture to the air so it's not so dry. But also keep your house well ventilated. So open your windows daily to bring in clean air into your house and make sure your kitchens and your bathrooms have some kind of ventilation to inhibit the growth of mold.
Yeah, well, speaking of mold, when our skin barrier is impaired, are we actually more vulnerable to being impacted by those contact airborne triggers like mold and dust mites, for example?
Yeah, so not only are we more susceptible to these airborne triggers when our skin barrier is compromised, but they can actually cause further deterioration of the skin barrier. So like dry, itchy and scaly skin can be a result of mold spores coming in contact with the skin. So this also aggravates asthma symptoms, especially in kids. So children with eczema often can have open sores on their skin from scratching. And mold spores are thought to be a major contributor to discoid eczema, or otherwise known as ringworm eczema. So this presents as kind of like a coin-shaped patch of dry, scaly skin, which may or may not itch. So the mold on the skin can also alter the skin's microbiome and so possibly weaken its physical barrier, so it makes it more susceptible to skin irritation and damage. So there was a study published in the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology that found that the mycotoxins released by mold can also trigger inflammation and damage the skin. So, yeah.
So we actually have a whole podcast, a whole blog post about mold, so I'll pop a link to that in the show notes as well. And what about when it comes to dust mites?
Oh, my God, dust mites are so gross. So dust mites are these little eight-legged microscopic creatures, and they live in warm areas with high humidity, and they look for places with human hair and animal skin cells because that's their source of food. So they're basically scavengers, and they live in nest sites. And so their favorite food source is discarded skin fragments. So, but they will basically they'll eat anything organic, but that's what they like. So because of that, their favorite place to live is in your bed, and you know, in couches and things like that. So the thing about house mites that is quite gross is they've evolved this really clever way to extract the most out of their available food, because they actually aren't that good at digesting food. So the first time they eat something, it's hard for them to digest it. So it kind of passes through the mite relatively untouched. But it's covered with these active digestive enzymes. So these enzymes start breaking down the hard to digest food, but so that it turns into droppings. So then they come back to them. So they kind of eat it, and then it goes through their body, and then they eat it again, and it goes like, so they do this, like they recycle their droppings like 3 to 4 times. So like, it's just like, that's what's living in your bed.
It's gross when we think about it, these little sort of evil mites living in our bed. Yeah, it's an image, that's for sure.
Yeah, so you know, the digestive enzymes are activated by moisture. So if you've got house mice droppings and they come into contact with damp human skin, the enzymes can actually start working there too. If these enzymes in the dropping, rather in the droppings, rather than the house mites themselves, that actually cause these allergic reactions, including eczema, asthma, and rhinitis. So dust mites are a year-round problem, but they can be worse in the winter months, as we've got more blankets and beddings. So that's like their breeding ground for them. And so many people can experience a reaction to dust mites when their skin comes into contact with this dust mite allergen. And what they do is these allergens destroy the tight junctions and deteriorate the skin barrier function. And because they're so tiny, the dust mites can also be inhaled. So many people, you know, they'll inhale these dust mite allergens, which can cause an immune response, an inflammation, an irritation in the nose, the throat, and the lungs, as well as having like full itchy, scratchy things. And the skin barrier damage from the dust mites allergens can reach lower levels of cells, that's, you know, so it gets deeper down. So it can spark this immune cascade, which results in inflammation that can trigger or worsen the eczema symptoms of people who are prone to it. Also, dust mite allergens damage the skin barrier. It's if this happens, then it's less capable of preventing exposure to other allergens. So it just weakens the whole system.
Yeah, and I guess that explains why a lot of people with eczema and other skin conditions also can experience these asthma and hay fever symptoms, so also known as the atopic triad. And that's because you do have these common triggers, airborne triggers, contributing to both symptom types. And the trickiest thing is that these airborne triggers, they're impossible to avoid completely.
Yeah.
So this is why we include them as part of a PAT treatment plan whenever there's any skin issues involved. But do you have any tips to help reduce our exposure to these airborne triggers?
Yeah. So dust mites, they breed most successfully at temperatures above 20 degrees. So the humidity and humidity above 50%. So to control the dust mites, your home needs to be dry and cool, but obviously not too dry. So this is fine balance. So the biggest source of house mite dust allergy reactions comes from your bedding. And, you know, young children can be in their beds for up to 14 hours a day. So it's really important to air out their bedding daily across like hard surfaces like the back of a chair, because it'll dry out and it stops the activity of the dust mites. Pillows can be aired by propping them up on like an open back chair. The other thing is you can vacuum your mattress. If you've got a Dyson, they're the best ones. They all just suck it all up. So like once a week, you can strip all the, you know, once you're cleaning the sheets, you can just vacuum the whole mattress, and that will suck up a whole lot of them as well. And then you want to wash the duvets and the pillows with a hot wash, so about 60 degrees, because it because when you do it with a warm wash, it doesn't actually remove the house mite droppings. You need it to be really, really hot. It's because the enzymes and the droppings are, you know, the main problem. So you want to get rid of those droppings. Dust mites can be killed by soaking the bedding for 30 minutes in a eucalyptus. And then you can use a regular 40-degree wash cycle if you don't want to go for the hot wash. And that solution is one part oil to like 120 parts water. So it's really only a few drops. Dry your hair and your children's hair before going to bed. So if they are having showers at night, you just don't want the dampness from the pillow to encourage the dust mites and also, you know, the mold to move in and breed. And also soft toys can contain a lot of dust mites. So you need to put them in a plastic bag and you put them in the freezer for up to 16 hours and that will kill the dust mites. And then just give them a warm wash and then they're all good to go.
It is always a constant battle trying to keep on top of these kind of airborne triggers, but they're definitely some really good tips. Now, when it comes to food reactions that can contribute to eczema symptoms, what are some of the common food triggers?
Yeah, so there's many studies now that have documented like a major role in food allergies with eczema. So especially in infants and young children, the most common food allergies are milk, eggs, and peanuts. In one study, these three foods accounted to roughly 81% of all of the cases of childhood eczema, which is obviously super high. So the presence of food allergies can also be a result of increased gut permeability, which creates an added load on the immune system. And this can help the breakdown of the skin barrier also, which can contribute to an allergic response when the food allergen is consumed. I think, you know, this is our next podcast. We're going to talk all about the gut microbiome. It's fascinating and really interesting for allergy sufferers. So also there's food chemical intolerance, which can also play a major role in eczema and dermatitis flare-ups, the most common ones being salicylates and amines. So salicylates are natural, you've heard us talk about these a lot, but these are natural pesticide chemicals that are produced by plants for self-protection, and they're found in lots of healthy things, fruits, vegetables, herbs, nuts and spices. And according to extensive research from the RPA Hospital Allergy Unit, salicylate sensitivity can trigger or worsen eczema symptoms in 52% of eczema sufferers. So it's massive. And amines are another food chemical that's naturally occurring that are formed during the breakdown of protein and through the process of fermentation. So high levels of amines can be found in foods like cheese, wine, beer, salmon, probiotics, fish oils, soy sauce, fermented foods, and chocolate. And again, according to research from Sydney's Royal Prince Alfred Hospital Allergy Unit, the amines can trigger or worsen eczema in 36% of eczema sufferers. So they're really huge triggers.
Yeah. And I guess that's why skin conditions are notoriously tricky to manage, because it's often due to a combination of these airborne triggers, which are pretty much impossible to avoid completely, as well as these food reactions that are in really a really wide range of foods. So we have covered how to protect our skin barrier with these techniques. But when it comes to nourishing the skin barrier from the inside, what are some of the foods and supplements that can be beneficial for people with sensitive skin?
Yeah, so there are many foods and supplements that can help reduce eczema symptoms and flare-ups because mainly they're anti-inflammatory and they reduce the histamine and help hydrate the skin. So we'll just go through a couple of them here, but you can see the full list on our blog post. So the first one is essential fatty acids. So research has shown that people with eczema have an altered essential fatty acid and prostaglandin metabolism. So linoleic acid levels can be increased while the polyunsaturated fatty acids in like the EPA and the DHA is low. So these changes lead to a greater tendency to allergies and inflammation. So therefore, supplementation with fish oils can help with the prostaglandin abnormalities. The ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 is sort of found to be significantly lower in people with eczema, but it is important to note that if you have an amine or a histamine reaction, that the fish oils might not be that great for you. So also omega-3 fish oils can improve respiratory function as they're anti-inflammatory, because they shift this the leukotriene synthesis from like a high inflammatory series 4 to a less inflammatory series 5. And so they can reduce the production of this IgE, which are the antibodies that cause allergic reactions and asthmatic symptoms.
And what are some foods that are high in omega-3?
So seafood, fish, especially the oily fish like salmon, mackerel, trout, herrings, and sardines, cod liver oil, flax seeds, hemp seeds, walnuts, chia seeds, and egg yolks.
One of my, because I'm not much of a fish person, so I always struggle to get in enough omega-3. So one of the things I'm really loving at the moment is chia seed puddings, as you can add different things like that and you don't have to have that fishy flavor, but you still get a good dose of omega-3 through those as well. But the next one, which is really actually a trendy ingredient in skincare at the moment, is vitamin C.
Yeah, and well, this is because vitamin C plays a really important role in maintaining health and supporting the immune system. So the skin, your skin needs high concentrations of vitamin C as it's used for the formulation of that skin barrier that we've been talking about before, and also for collagen. So it's a potent antioxidant, so it protects our skin from oxidation, and we can't make it, so our bodies need to consume it on a daily basis to keep our stores up. So when vitamin C has been depleted, the cells don't function properly and the immune system becomes impaired. So also, like, high doses can lower histamine levels, which is something that we want to do. And it does this by preventing the secretion of histamine by white blood cells and increases the detoxification of the histamine itself. So vitamin C will not only lower blood histamine levels if taken over time, but it also improves your immune system and tightens the skin, and it does all these amazing things. So yeah, it's best to take about 200 micrograms a day.
Yeah, and it's also worth checking the back of your supplements, especially if you bought them through like a chemist or a health food shop, just to make sure that you are getting a high enough dosage, as sometimes they will advertise something contains vitamin C and then only have a very small amount of it. So something to keep an eye out there. But when it comes to natural food sources, what are some examples apart from the classic like oranges and citrus?
Yeah, so capsicum's really high, papaya, strawberries, broccoli, pineapple, kiwi fruit, citrus fruits, and fermented vegetables as well are really high in vitamin C.
Yeah, and the next one we're going to talk about is vitamin D.
Yeah, so, you know, vitamin D is really important over winter because it's much more difficult to get vitamin D because there's much less sun, and we obviously spend our days inside or covered up when we are outside. So vitamin D is known as a sunshine vitamin, as you can't make it on your own and you need exposure to sunlight. So, often people don't get enough during summer because they use sunscreen, which blocks their bodies from metabolizing it. So by the time they get to winter, they're actually quite deficient in it. And the thing about vitamin D is it's really important for the immune system, as it activates and it mediates the body's immune function. So it helps to reduce inflammation in the body, as it inhibits proteins that trigger an inflammatory response in people with chronic inflammatory diseases like eczema or asthma. So studies have shown that vitamin D supplementation can actually help ameliorate the severity of eczema and atopic dermatitis. And also low blood levels of vitamin D have linked to an increased risk of asthma attacks. Not to mention all of this, you know, it makes you feel a bit low and a bit sad. You know, there's that seasonal affect disorder that it does create. So, you know, especially in Australia and New Zealand, where the sun is quite harsh, you know, we've been programmed to use sunscreen so much and cover up that we actually don't get enough vitamin D. So it's just a really easy way to make sure that you're topped up over winter, so it doesn't lead to a deficiency.
Yeah, as a population, we're chronically deficient. So that's also something to keep in mind when we do get blood tests done, that you're being compared to a population that is deficient, whereas we want to be aiming for those optimal levels around 100, which we'll talk about once you get blood tests done. But when it comes to, there's plenty of supplements out there as well. But what are some foods that are naturally rich in vitamin D that we can use as well?
Yeah, so the foods, there's oily fish, like, and cod liver oil is really good, but again, you've got that horrible fishy taste. Egg yolks are really high, and red meat, and interestingly, mushrooms.
Yeah, so it gives a few options if you're not wanting to just rely on supplements, and you can do it from a whole foods kind of diet. But another really simple one, which can actually fall under the radar during winter especially, is to keep hydrated. So So we're actually more likely to become dehydrated during winter as our body's thirst response diminishes by 40%. And also indoor heating can be a source of that dehydration as well.
Yeah, and you know, also when it's cold, we tend to drink a lot more hot drinks, but that can lead to an increase in caffeine because the tea and the coffee count kind of starts to add up. And so the stimulating effects of caffeine are actually similar to our body's own response under stress, and chronic stress weakens our immune system. The other thing about caffeine is it pulls out calcium and other mineral stores in your body, so it reduces the amount that is able to be utilized for maintaining and repairing cells and keeping the immune system in balance. It's also a diuretic, so it makes you go to the toilet more, like wee more. And since we don't normally drink as much water, as you're saying, because we're not as thirsty, it can lead to dehydration, which will make your skin more prone to drying out. And, you know, you've got to keep your body hydrated inside and out. So maintaining an even body temperature and keeping your immune system strong will also help to reduce the eczema flare-ups over the winter.
And I guess where we come in with positive association technique, or PAT, is by helping our clients manage these flare-ups by relieving their reactions to those triggers that we talked about, like dust mites and molds and salicylates and sweat, etc.
Yeah, so we're all qualified naturopaths, and we use a form of muscle testing or kinesiology to assess your reactions to a wide range of food or airborne or chemical substances, because everyone's triggers are individual. So how the muscle testing works is that you'll hold on to a sample vial of the substance, and what we're doing is we're looking for a change in your muscle strength that will indicate a reaction. So if the muscle in your arm stays strong, then that shows that your body is okay with that. But if your muscle weakens, then it indicates that you have a reaction to the substance. And that can be a sensitivity all the way through to, you know, intolerance or an allergy. And then we use this chiropractic tool called the AcuStim to stimulate the nerve bundles and acupressure points down either side of your spine. And so while you're holding on to that sample, what we do is we help to retrain your body to no longer have a negative reaction to that substance. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's part of a really good holistic approach when it comes to managing a skin condition. Like all the things we've talked about today, nourishing from the inside, protecting from the outside, and then managing those triggers with PAT. So if you're interested in learning more about this technique, I'll pop a link to our previous episode that talks about PAT in a lot of depth to how this technique works. And you can also visit our website, naturalallergytreatment.com.au, to get some more information. Otherwise, thank you so much for today, Jenny. I hope our listeners get a lot out of this, learning about how to take care of their skin during winter. And I really look forward to hearing more about the microbiome on our next episode.
Oh yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah, and thanks, it's great to chat. Next time, yeah, we'll talk all about the microbiome and its sort of influence and how it affects you when you have allergies. Yeah,
awesome. I look forward to it. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, see you.